Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thank you for being here again this morning. We are really excited to introduce Derek Shelton as the next manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're extremely excited to introduce Derek today. I want to welcome his family who is here today also. I want to first thank everyone in baseball operations for an incredible amount of hard work through the process of the manager search, both phases of the manager search. It was a very collaborative process, and we're all really excited about where it landed.
Want to thank Ben for the kind words and for everyone being here today. I want to thank Bob and Travis for making me part of the Pirates family, for the entire baseball ops group being led by Ben with Kevin Gray. This is a division that we can win because our starting pitching is really good, and we do need to add bats. We have a pretty good core with Brian Reynolds and Neil Cruz, and you know, last year Joey Bart turned into a good offensive player, so we're in a good spot. We do need to add the way that your board showed up right there. We do need to add those things, but I feel really good about where we're at.
Jason Adam for the Padres delivers to McCutchen. Swing and a miss, struck him out. Padres sweep the series. Pirates are shut out again for the sixth time, and they've dropped seven of their last eight games. A very disappointing homestand as they are swept here by the San Diego Padres.
No, I mean, I feel pressure every day, and I think I should. You know, it's what this job's about. It's about winning, and it's about going out and getting better. So, I mean, for 5 years, I felt that pressure. And I think anybody that sits in this chair should. And if you don't, then you're in the wrong job. You know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting the date out there.
Shelty, I've asked you this in many different ways, but as we talk about the future, have you been given any assurance that you will be here next year?
Like I've told you before. I mean, you love to talk about this topic, Stark, every week. We'll talk about that at the end of the year, but my focus is the rest of the year and how we're going.
Well, I didn't talk about it last week because you can only talk about it so much.
3-2 to Reynolds. Strike three, call. 102 miles an hour. He finally sees a fastball and he takes it. And that is how the game ends. A bitter taste.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11-0. It's 11-0. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11-0. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11-0.
Pirates, unless they come back, will fall to 12-26. Almost never see that happen. Ground ball to third.
Oh, yes, you do.
That'll do it. Pirates shut out again. 5-0 Cardinals.
Let me first start saying again thank you to Shelty. He worked his tail off for 5-plus years here.
Ah, the trip down memory lane.
Oh, how about it?
How many games did Shelty lose here?
Like 440.
Why?
Kind of a lot.
He lost as much as any manager, at least percentage-wise, who has ever lived. And he's really not the problem here, or wasn't the problem here. And the problem doesn't get fixed with Don Kelly, who's a nice man from everything I understand, referred to by Ben Cherington as an elite human being. What are we?
Elite.
Is he going to be nominated for sainthood here?
I think he might have been nominated as the new pope. I'm surprised he didn't walk out.
It sounds like he might be batting leadoff for the new pope. An elite human being, not just a good guy and a good baseball man. He's elite.
It means he's nicer than Jerry DePaula.
Shelty did work his tail off, I think, here. What was he? Oh, thank you. Thank you, Shelty.
Thank you, Shelty.
That's how Ben Cherington opened.
That's the name of our intro today. Thank you, Shelty.
Start saying again, thank you to Shelty.
Thank you, Shelty.
Thanks, Shelty.
For being the sacrificial lamb so that I didn't get fired. Thank you, Shelty. That's like thanking somebody who robbed your house limits for leaving the wedding rings.
Well, at least they left something behind.
I mean, what are we doing here? What have we done? It's been a gigantic week, by the way, on this show.
Incredible two-week stretch. Incredible.
I mean, let's just look at this week. There were three major stories, and I'm not sure what order to put them in terms of prestige, in terms of unforgettability. We had George Pickens get traded. We had Shelty get fired, and we had you attack the godfather, Bob Pompeiani. By saying his take on Will Howard as being better than Drew Aller.
That is an absolutely ridiculous take.
Was that? That's the biggest story of the week to me. I'm sorry.
It's not, but it is. All right.
I rank them in order. You attacking Bob, followed by Pickens, followed by Shelty. And this is where we begin today, is Shelty, because that's the freshest one. And what I wrote today was sort of the emotional part of all of this, not with Shelty. He needed to go way before this, but where this leaves the Pirates and who is really to blame and how fans feel about it. That's where I'm at today. It's rare that the Pirates are the lead story, let's say on a show like Pardon the Interruption. It's rare. And when the Pirates are the lead story on ESPN or national sports news, it's usually for something calamitous, like an usher beating a fan with a belt or some such thing. Or it might be Paul Skeens. Every once in a while, it's something good like him. And yet, we've reached the point in Pirate history where even the good things are bad. I mentioned this before the season. Travis Sawchuk tweeted something to this effect the other day, this sort of dynamic where Paul Skeens, the presence of Paul Skeens, is both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because Skeens is a generational talent and by all accounts an awesome guy. I don't know that if he's an elite human being, but he's an awesome guy. The curse is that him being those things turns attention toward the Pirates and all the ridiculous things about them. And quite frankly, if we're all a family here in Pittsburgh, this is like some horrible family secret that we'd rather you not see. So Skeens' presence turns attention toward the Pirates at least once every 5 days and underscores everything they haven't done to build around him. It's a blessing and a curse. And I've just never seen the franchise in the state it's in. And yesterday, again, they make national news. And again, we get laughed at. It's like they're basically an MLB charity case, is what the Pirates have become. And everybody knows. I mean, everybody knows what the deal is. People are intelligent, you know? You think most fans out there think this will fix anything? Do you have the conversation with Buster Olney on PTI? This was Buster Olney, who's as well known, respected, and tenured as any baseball writer in America. And Kornheiser and Wheelbon had him on yesterday because the Pirates are the center of attention, at least for a day, because they fired their manager. And Kornheiser, you know, started out by saying, is managing really the problem in Pittsburgh?
It's about ownership spending money, which they just haven't done. Look, since the start of 2019, the Pittsburgh Pirates have spent about $1.2 billion less than the Dodgers. And that's an absurd comparison because the Dodgers are in L.A. Since 2019, the Pirates have spent $200 million less than the Milwaukee Brewers. Bob Nutting, the owner, came out today and said, look, I want to see a sense of urgency. Bob, how about you? Stop hoarding your revenue sharing money and spend some money on good players.
And Wheelbon laughed and said, yeah, that sounds like a reasonable solution to us. And then they moved on. So a quick laugh for everybody around the country yesterday on the Pirates, and then they move on until the next calamitous story. What I'm wondering about is how you're doing, because the other thing, and this was the gist of my story that I was thinking about this morning, was those bucko bricks, you know? And in one sense, we laugh, but in another sense, you know, they were symbolic of how important the Pirates are to the fabric of this city from one generation to the next. And I can feel it too. I didn't have a baseball team when I was a kid. I've said many times I worshiped the Pirates from the 1971 World Series on. Made pilgrimages here with my dad to watch the Pirates. Would issue my own Stargell Stars. Had posters of the players in my room, and morning after games would study the box scores and put my own little Stargell Star on guys who had had good games. Worshiped them. Moved to Pittsburgh in a large way because of my history of loving the Pirates. I didn't know what I was doing. Limits. I was drunk half the time. I wanted to get away from my friends in Buffalo. Figured if I kept going to college, I'd never have to get a job. And then I started searching colleges. I was willing to go anywhere. I could have wound up in Alaska at, you know, the University of Anchorage or something. Then I saw Pittsburgh and Duquesne and said, you know what? Something tells me just go to Pittsburgh. And part of that something, it never would have registered, is my childhood love of the Pirates.
You were young and foolish back then.
Maybe young and smart in the end.
That's right.
Point being, I share in that connection with the Pirates. I share in the civic institution that is the Pirates that has been passed down from one generation to the next around here. And the image of those bucko bricks, I mean, there's never been a more unmistakable metaphor, maybe in human history. It was people's commemorative bricks to their loved ones sitting broken, crumbled in a recycling bin in Reserve Township. That's Pirates fans right now. That's you. And people that you love and have loved in your lifetimes, generations, just sitting in a damn recycling bin, discarded, broken. And every once in a while, we're reminded of that. And yesterday, again, not because it was Shelton getting fired, that needed to happen. It was because of the attention that turned toward Pittsburgh and the state of the Pirates under this owner. That's what I was thinking about, and how it just all feels ruined at this point. It really does. It just feels broken, like those bricks. And I wonder if people move on from rage to something else. You know, and beyond rage, I think is just sort of, if you can get underneath it, is like just an emptiness. A sadness. And I wonder how many people have gone there, a nothingness. What is it that they do with the Dennis Eckersley thing? A hodgepodge of nothingness?
The hodgepodge of nothingness, yes.
Like if you're still feeling rage, great. And that may still be the default sort of setting around here. But I'm sensing from a lot of people I talk to that we've entered a land beyond rage, a feeling beyond rage. And it's just like, it's just like grief or hurt or just nothing.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
Just nothing left, including people in the ballpark, you know? This hardly feels like a spark that's going to light the Pirates. It feels like another brick over our heads is what it feels like. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. That's what I'm interested in this morning, is how you feel right now about the Pirates. Maybe what the Pirates have meant to you and generations in your family, and how you feel today. And again, for the third time, you know, Derek Shelton's going to be fine. This is not about him, but it's one of those sort of big moments that has me and a lot of people reflecting on the Pirates and around the sports world has them once again laughing at our team. 928-9370. Limits, you come from a Pirate family. Just the reaction around the sports world yesterday is just like, yeah, for a brief moment, we'll all laugh at the Pirates because they think it's about the manager, the head coach, so to speak, when we all know it's not. We all know what it's about. Buster Olney stated in plain terms what it's all about. That doesn't excuse the GM, by the way, who's way more complicit in this than the manager ever was, as incompetent as the manager was. But it really begins in one place, and there's only so much, I think, that people can take.
Yeah.
Like you can feel anger and rage probably for a whole life. Some people do. But at some point, that moves, and then what's left? I think an empty ballpark, which is another metaphor that hits you over the head like a ton of bricks, because I think that's what a lot of people feel in regard to the Pirates, is just an emptiness, like, wow, that this is what's become of this. This is where we are.
I will be very curious to see what Fridays and Saturdays are in June and July. Maybe not so much in August, but typically, even if the team has been bad in the last however many years, Saturdays still get about 35,000-36,000 on a great 80-degree day. I wonder if that number will dip to around 20, and if there will just be a huge sentiment of the fan base that has just said, enough already. Because I know that there are a lot of fans out there that looked at this move saying it was necessary. Shelton had to go. He just was not good enough as a manager. And I saw a lot of national people saying Shelton will get another job as a manager. He's just a scapegoat.
What?
In this. I don't.
You name for me one person that said Derek Shelton will get another job as a manager. One person.
I watched it on Ken Rosenthal's podcast, Foul Territory. One of the guys
on
there.
Who said it?
I got to find the name
of the guy. I need a name.
I have the clip for
Derek
you.
Derek Shelton will never be a manager again.
I 1,000% agree with you on that. And I will pull the clip up and record it so that we can play it. What I saw yesterday. But regardless, we all know where this starts and ends. And we've basically just gotten to a point where the staleness of it, and Paul Skeens bringing it even more to light on a national stage, because the Pirates could just be hidden without Paul Skeens. Like, yeah, you know, they're one of 30, but, you know, we don't talk about them. They're in that bottom five category. Now, with everything being brought to light the way it is, people just want to change and they know they're not going to get it. And I think that's where the biggest frustration comes.
I think frustration, rage, we still may see some of it. I'm still waiting for the 35,000 strong that you talk about to really let loose with the sell the team chant. But I'm sensing that we're moving beyond that. And that is the last thing that if you're the Pirates, you want. The very, very last thing. This is now two seasons with Skeens wasted. I don't know how long he's going to be here. Like, how long? Is he going to be here 5 years, 6 years for the whole time?
When is he just going to say something publicly like, look, I'm sick of this. We have to do something differently.
Yeah,
I feel like he's the type of guy that
he could.
Should.
But how long is he going to be here? I'm not talking about he can't leave. They
right.
control him. So let's say the max. The max would be what? Total. 5 years
max
or six?
Max would be four more years after this.
Okay. So... already.
He would be a free agent, 29.
So then he will have been here 6 years, correct?
Yes. 6 years is the most.
Two of them are gone. What's two divided by six? 33%? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Two of six? 33%. And that's the hopeful part. Remember, Gerrit Cole was traded with 2 years left on his deal. If you want to get maximum return on Skeens, you start talking trade in a couple of years. For all I know, half his career is going to be done after this season in Pittsburgh. And they've wasted it. 928-9370 off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. There's a little birdie who texted me that this guy, Radley Haddad, who was their sort of game planning coach.
Is he
gone too now?
He's been fired, yes.
There are some people out there that feel like this is more significant than the Shelty fire.
Well, if he's the one that's making the game plans, maybe that's who was having some influence on Shelty.
There is some people feel like this guy was trying to script the games, like he was a script writer. If he was, he basically wrote The Exorcist every night. I mean, this was absolutely horrifying. You know, I don't even know who this guy was, you know, but I'm glad he's gone too.
There's an original script, and then there's edits that's made to the script. Yeah, they just said, screw your edits. We're not going to make any of that. The original script goes.
My God, what a disaster. What a flaming, flaming disaster. And the fact that Ben Cherington had the lead quote in the team statement is embarrassing. And it was embarrassing to see him up there. Do we have a couple of his quotes from yesterday, Limits?
Oh, yeah, we do. We also have more on what he had to say about the whole thank you, Shelty thing.
Let's hear some.
First, here is Cherington on saying goodbye to Derek Shelton.
Let me first start saying again, thank you to Shelty. He worked his tail off for 5+ years here. Gave it everything he possibly had.
I keep picturing Shelty with a tail, but go ahead.
Always available year-round. Put his whole life into it. And his family, certainly Allie, his kids and parents became part of the organization, and we're going to miss that. So, you know, there's no one thing. We aren't performing the way we need to. We're not performing in a way that our fans deserve. We know we need to be better. I think as I looked at the end of last year, August and September, and how
I've heard enough. You know, I don't want to hear any more. This guy pretending he's the steward and guardian of the franchise. Get out of here. My God. Yeah, this was my decision. I was observing everything going on here since August of last year, and I decided, this is enough. We certainly can't go on with this. I'm running this team, and I'm not going to take that anymore. Ben, your lineup the other night had a 38-year-old in the three-hole, followed by Key Brian Hayes in the cleanup spot, who you signed to a $70 million deal, who has one home run. Is there another cleanup hitter in all of baseball the other night who has one home run? Followed by somebody named Alexander Canario, who only a tanking team would have on its roster, let alone in its lineup. Followed by Adam Frazier, one of your hideous offseason signings, who's batting .235, which was predictable because he's mostly stunk since he left here. Followed by Matt Gorski, hitting .211. Followed by the Exxon Valdez, hitting .218, that people tell me has potential as a power hitter. We've all lost our minds. Followed by Jared Triolo batting .140, who Shelty couldn't say enough good things about because he plays good defense. So does Aliko Williams, and so did Mario Mendoza. Followed by Peggy, Leover Peguero, who's now back in the 100s, where he'll probably remain. Followed by your biggest failure of all, Henry Davis at .133, who you drafted first overall. So how dare Bob Nutting put you in front of the media like you're the steward of the franchise and making the big decisions around here, and Shelty just wasn't living up to it. He's not a manager. First, Shelty needed to go. He was bad at his job. And there's not a manager in baseball history. You could take the traits, the best traits of the five best managers who ever lived. And I don't care who they are. I don't know. Joe Torre, Whitey Herzog, Connie Mack, whoever you want to choose. And nobody would have won with the crap roster that you put together. And beyond Bob Nutting, who is far and away the biggest culprit here, you're second. I can't think, as I wrote and said yesterday, of another GM ever in this town in the history of Pittsburgh sports across 201 seasons combined that the Penguins, Steelers, and Pirates have played, and 44 general managers who's been worse at your job than you. And it's an absolute travesty that you weren't kicked out the door along with Shelton. But Bob Nutting's going to put Ben Cherington in front of the media to tell us the rationale behind his decision for getting rid of the manager who had to decide where to bat Canario, Gorski, Triolo, Peguero, and Davis? Get out of here! Maybe the rage is back, actually, Limits. Let's go to the lines, shall we? Who are you talking to, Bob? Limits!
I was talking to Paul in Washington. He would like to chime in on what's going on with the situation.
Please. Hi, Paul.
Giuseppe, I feel like I'm calling you to talk about, you know, somebody that just passed away. And in a lot of ways...
Is somebody drilling into the bucko bricks behind you? What's happening there?
No, that's just something that has to do with my job at the time. But anyhow, getting back to what I was trying to talk to you about was... I feel like we're going to be reading an obituary. And what it is the state of just not the Pirates, but Bob Nutting's overall business acumen. When you have people that are bad employees running your organizations, including your other interest, i.e. newspaper interest, where you sink most of your money from baseball into, then you end up with a failing organization. Your GM should have been plank walked yesterday, too. Your scouts should be fired. Everybody in your organization should be fired. You know, people like Steve Blass, they have too much dignity and too much love for the Pirates to speak the truth about how they really feel about this organization. But, Joe, it seems like just yesterday when I could tell you the lineup of the Pirates team for the next 6 months. I remember how baseball used to be when people would literally come down to the stadium, $2, get a seat in the outfield and be there all day for a doubleheader. When we used to have doubleheaders, them stadiums used to be filled morning, noon, and night. And it's a shame that Bob Nutting doesn't have any decency to understand that when you don't listen to the customer, you end up sitting with the customer. And that said, I leave it back to you in the great city limits. Hasta luego, my friend.
Quite a soliloquy that was.
Isn't he great?
We're going to see an obituary. We've already seen one. The lead to the obit went like this. The Pirates season died 2 weeks ago. That's it.
Yeah, that's game, set, match. Wrote in ink.
Yeah, man, it used to be, and like I said, they're a civic institution that has been passed down from one generation to another, and there's just only so much that people can take. And, you know, there are people out there saying, well, you know, there's still a bunch of people who show up. Not really. I mean, the Miami Marlins are barely a baseball franchise, and they're the only team left in the National League with lower attendance than the Pirates. All right, Limits, let's go back to the phones for a moment before we get to Ben Cherington yesterday, the guy who put together the great rosters that Shelty mismanaged, I guess.
Ah, yes.
And then we get to Ray Fittipaldi. We turn to football, top of the hour. Who's next here?
Here is George in Edgewood.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, guys. I want to make two quick points. One, I used to give Derek Shelton a little bit of a pass because I didn't know if it was him or his hitting coach or his pitching coach who were making these awful, awful decisions. But I think both of those guys need to go along with him. And I'll mention the second point is these kids get to the major leagues because they are hitting well. And then they come up here where every pitcher in the league wants to throw a first pitch strike. And Shelton is telling them to work for a walk. Really? I mean, all the pitchers in the league.
Is he?
A lot of our guys,
I don't know that he's doing that or was doing that. I don't know that.
It actually came out last year at some point, and I watched one period of time when they went through a successful stretch where they started to go after the first pitch, and then all of a sudden it didn't seem to be happening again.
What if they're just not very good? What if they could go after the first pitch, the second pitch, the last pitch, and every other pitch, but they just can't hit?
Well, always a possibility, but they got here by hitting.
Right.
They got here by hitting, and I know the pitching is a little better up here, but I really didn't like the fact that at one point last year they were definitely taking the first pitch trying to work for a walk.
Well,
he talks about the opposing pitcher's pitch count, getting the pitch count up. Come on, the best pitch you're going to see is the first one.
I know. We could quibble about details here. Let me ask you a question. Does this fix anything? Does putting Don Kelly in charge fix anything?
Well, I assume that's temporary, and if he gets lucky and he does change the the clubhouse temperament. You know, a lot of these guys got to be frustrated with Shelton and the bad decisions, a lot of them involving Bednar and Holderman, where I was like, what the hell were you thinking? And the other thing that he often did, and I know a lot of managers do this, you know, a guy pitches a 1-2-3 relief inning in the sixth or the seventh, you take him out? Really? You're going to go for the mystery in the bullpen instead of the guy who just shut them down?
I appreciate the call. My wife complains about that. I mean, I do try to explain that you want to preserve your bullpen. You can't just be throwing. But on a given night, I agree. There were too many games that Shelty should have managed, like Game 7.
Yes.
And he was constantly saving people for an event or a big game or a series of them that were never going to exist.
Well, and it seems like he always trusted the numbers too much, or he trusted guys that were not showing him good enough results where he was like, oh, well, they were really good for me a year ago, a la Colin Holderman in that game against L.A., where you throw him in fresh off the IL in the eighth inning and exactly what you expected to happen happens.
Can we hear Shelty's back and forth with the Noah Constrictor again about Bednar pitching last year?
That is one of my absolute favorites.
Bednar appeared in three games in like 2 weeks, which was a massive embarrassment and therefore an absolutely appropriate question. Of course, he had a better ERA than Bednar, and that's not a joke. He did in those appearances. But this was one of the rare times, I must say, that Shelty showed at least signs of snapping, and ironically enough, he was snapping at a boa constrictor.
This is when Rowdy came in to pitch.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
It's 11 to nothing.
Low-key, the biggest moment of that was the Noah Constrictor saying, okay.
Okay.
Can we hear it one more time? And I want people to focus on the Noah Constrictor with a very, very small okay. And this was a great question. And he's a bulldog. Well, he's a snake, actually. He's a Noah Constrictor.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
I love that.
Okay.
Do we have any other classic Shelties or ridiculous Charringtons from yesterday?
Oh, we have a bunch
Fire
in here.
Fire off a few. Let's have a laugh. There's the only way to sort of diffuse blind rage or enliven emptiness is with humor. Sometimes dark humor limits. Please deliver me a couple lines.
Do you remember this one?
You know, Destiny's Child thinks he's Nostradamus, so he's evidently putting the date out there.
That one was good, but maybe not as good as this one.
I think if you ask Rabs, I mean, inadvertent send, I mean, he would take that one back.
Inadvertent send for Tommy Pham.
No, yeah, that was Mike Rebelgo. The inadvertent send where his arm just started uncontrollably waving in a windmill. He couldn't help it.
How about this one from earlier this year?
Giving Cruz a day off. Getting him off his feet and deciding to keep Cruz in the lineup because he's been swinging the bat probably as well as anybody except for Valdez.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you get him off his
feet. Valdez. So that was Cruz leading the league in steals at the age of 26, who needed he needed to get off his feet on a Saturday and DH and then not play at all on Sunday.
Not at all.
A 26-year-old guy. And again, that goes back to, and I'm still stunned.
Plus, off day on Monday.
If I'm Shelty, I have to know my job's in jeopardy right when you started 1-5 this year. And I don't care what anybody says at that point. I'm going down with the ship. Well, the Exxon Valdez, you might say. I'm going down with the ship, and I'm treating every game like Game 7. And if that means throwing Skeens for 130 pitches, I'm doing that. If that means playing O'Neill Cruz every single day,
giving Cruz a day off.
Every single
day. Getting him off his feet and deciding to keep Cruz in the lineup.
Then I'm doing that. I mean, it's remarkable the way this team was managed, given the precarious job security of the manager.
It was managed by a computer.
Tell me more about Radley Haddad, because I did. I got a couple texts today.
Yeah.
One of them went like this: Radley Haddad and his binder have fittingly been punted into the sun. which is actually poetic, is it not?
He was there.
That sounds like the beginning of some sort of exotic ancient tale.
Oh, like a Shakespeare novel or
Radley,
something.
Radley Haddad.
I think it's Haddad.
Haddad?
I think.
Radley Haddad and his binder have been fittingly punted into the sun. He was the game. I expect a rhyme next. He was the game planning coach that tried shoving, quote, scripts down the throat of a baseball game to manage it.
Was he writing a TV show? I know they're on TV. Did he think that this was a series that was airing on CBS?
It must have. Like I said, it read every night like the script to The Exorcist or some other horrible thing.
He was their game planning and strategy coach for the past three seasons.
Think about how utterly ridiculous. Can you imagine if somebody said to Jim Leland or Chuck Tanner, Jim, yeah, we've hired this guy to be what again? A game planning and strategy
game
coach?
Game planning and strategy, yes.
That's called a manager. Now, I understand the manager wants, you know, an assistant, like a baseball guy, to consult with as he's making decisions sometimes. He doesn't need somebody coming in who is hired on his job description telling him what to do. And that's the feeling that I got with this guy, even though I didn't know who he was till 10 minutes ago when I got these texts.
Well, it just seems like if this guy had so much influence as it was, like, was he in the dugout next to Shelton making calls? Was he calling on the bullpen phone to Riley Haddad to try to make sure, hey, Riley, what do you think of this move? I was thinking about putting Bednar in, but Shelty, what do you think?
Shelty, it's Radley. We got to get Cruz off his feet today, the analytics tell me. Also, Canario, we definitely want batting fifth.
Also, Adam Frazier, yes, we really think he could be back to his 2018 form.
Yeah. Ben, this is Radley on the line. I think we can get one hell of a bargain with Tommy Pham this offseason. The numbers way under the surface, like way down, like down, but what do you call the lowest form of rock way down there? Limits. Do you have any rock knowledge?
I can like picture it in my mind, like the core of the earth.
The core of the earth down at the very core of Mount St. Helens.
By the molten lava.
Yeah, you'll find Tommy Pham stats that tell us we should invest money in this guy, even though every counting stat, every historical baseball stat tells you that he sucked last year.
If you look a little bit.
And he's 38, we'll go ahead and sign him and throw him in left field. And when he's not making obscene gestures to fans, he's hitting 183 with, let me count them again like I did yesterday. 0 home runs.
And if you look a little bit to your right, Derek, you will see Jack Sawinski. Yes, the underlying stats will be able to tell you that, sure, he might be striking out almost half the time he goes
Hello,
up there. But
Derek?
He'll figure it out.
Derek, this is Radley. Yeah, Ben, Radley on the line again. Listen, you guys should really, really try to see if Jack Sawinski can play in the major leagues this season. I'm telling you, the underlying stats tell me he can. What's that? He strikes out every plate appearance? That's okay. His swings are good. Give him another shot. I think he can still play. And you should hear about this guy, Emmanuel Valdez. He should be your cleanup hitter.
We should be like Moneyball. Hey, Billy, I have this catcher. His name is Henry Davis. The only downside is we drafted him to hit, and we knew he couldn't catch, and now he can catch, but he can't hit.
But his defensive runs saved make up for that. He's now an average major league defensive catcher, and that's worth the number one overall pick. Have I told you about this? Forget it. Forget it. Who's next?
Here is Emmanuel in Carnegie.
Emmanuel Valdez is on the
that's
line.
That's right. The Exxon Valdez calling in.
That's where Hannes Wagner was from, Carnegie, right, sir?
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for taking my call. You know, y'all already echoed everything I wanted to say for the last 2 days. Now, was it true that Bob Nutted said something in the light of, like, he believed that he exhausted everything he could to make this roster better?
Yes, he did. He's done everything he can.
And now you got Sheridan being the spokesperson for firing Shelton. So
right.
It all roots down to there's a lack of accountability from top to bottom. That's what it roots down to. And it just makes me sick because there's no hope. I mean, you already said everything I wanted to say the last 2 days. I'm just hopeless. I'm looking forward to football season. And now I'm just rooting for a soccer team, the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. I don't even watch baseball no more.
There you go. big season for the Riverhounds. If only I knew when it started or
no,
ended.
It is started. They beat this MLS team from New York the other day. It was a big win for the Riverhounds.
I've been meaning to get to a game down there. It looks awesome from the outside.
Bob might be able to get you VIP tickets. He's good friends with people at the Riverhounds, I think.
Hello, Derek. Yeah, this is Radley. I know you're probably not thinking about Jiwon Bae to open the season, but believe me, I've uncovered some stats that tell you it's a hell of a great idea. Yeah, why don't you have him on your opening day roster?
Stats are down there with the bedrock and the mantle, according Jiwon to the texters.
Bae. Hello,
the bedrock.
Yes, the bedrock. Right out of the Flintstones.
Yep.
Hello, Ben.
You can listen to the Crocodile Rock while you're down there in the bedrock trying to find the underlying stats.
Hello, Ben. Yeah, Radley again. I know the trade deadline is tomorrow, and there's this guy in Miami, Brian De La Cruz. Right. Yeah, he strikes out every time, I know. Can't play baseball. A lot of people think that. I think he can. There's a lot of underlying stats that tell me Brian De La Cruz is the guy to get at the deadline. Put him in the cleanup spot. You'll thank me later. Remember that move, Limits?
Oh,
That in and of itself was a fireable offense for Ben Cherington. He thought that guy was their cleanup hitter for the future, and they wound up cutting him. They cut him 2 months later.
The inexplicable damage that Ben Cherington has put on this roster with what I would also say is the Luis Ortiz trade, where you get Spencer Horwitz, who's had a horrible start to his career with the Pirates in the minors and hasn't even been on the majors yet, plus all these other trades have set this organization back how many years? And I saw something, we'll be able to play the clip in a little bit. Noah Hyles was on with the morning show, and he said that he think Ben Cherington will be here next year. What the hell are we doing?
I don't.
I don't either.
And the
but,
fact that he's going to get to run the draft again is borderline miraculous. Although I suppose in some ways not surprising. Listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. One, and we were talking about one Cherington quote from before the show. I don't remember what it was.
Well, Joe, you might have to squint a little bit to be able to see it or hear it.
Let's hear it.
I don't think you have to squint too hard to see a stronger team on the field in 2025. I believe we have the players in the organization that will help us do that.
What?
That is the exact thing that I tweeted.
That was AI.
Well, I mean,
that was really him.
To be fair to Ben, if he thinks he has a team that's better than 12-26, I hope he's right.
You don't have to squint too hard to see a better team. I can't see a better team if I use the Hubble telescope
or a magnifying glass. What better team is he looking at? 15-23?
Wow. That's the thing, is so much of what comes out from over there is so insulting people's intelligence.
There's no self-awareness. It's just trying to
but
sell
at least
people.
At least he called Shelty curious yesterday. That's how I'll always remember him. What a curious guy.
He was a very curious manager, yes.
Curious George. what are we doing here?
Let me first start saying again thank you to Shelty.
All right,
Shelty.
Let's turn to the Pirates or the Steelers. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Ray Fittipaldo next. He's at Rookie Mini Camp.
Yeah.
Let's talk to him about that, about Aaron Rodgers, and when or if that's going to happen. Ray Fittipaldo next. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge, the best place to find all your favorite player props. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to see if a guy's hitting that over consistently? Well, keep an eye on the Warriors. They're going to hit the under consistently. That was a disaster without Steph Curry last night. Once the game starts, things get interesting. You can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Starkey to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel official.